Big Blue Insider is on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. Get on the show. Call 280-CATS. That's 280-2287. Or toll free at 1-800-606-GAME. That's 1-800-606-4263. Big Blue Insider is brought to you by UK Healthcare. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Another spectacular day. We put up with the pounding of the rain, the flash floods, the soggy ground. But all it did was wash a lot of that nasty heat and some of the pollen and whatever it is that makes us all miserable from allergies. It's still out there, but it's not as bad as it always is. Although those of you who really suffer from it, I'm sure you're shaking your head saying, shut up, it's awful. But it is wonderful for the second or third day in a row. And we appreciate the fact that you've taken a little time to listen with us tonight. Yours truly, along with Curtis Birch, Bull Robinson on the other side of the razor wire. And we are here to chat with you at 280-2287. You can tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. Lots to discuss tonight, including an informal or formal, I guess depends on how you look at it, survey. It's on social media, so it's got, is that formal?
That's where I get all my facts.
Well, yeah, you know, and whenever we put it on, Curtis and I dress formally. We're both wearing suits tonight. Bo is wearing his T-shirt that looks like a tux. That's about as close as he gets. So we thought we would ask the question, which we often pose, when it's slow, we're not going to sit back and talk about the results of the MVP voting in the NBA. Sorry, if you're expecting that, you know, we just don't do that here, unless, you know, it entertains us. But we thought we would ask this question, purely speculative, of course, if the Wildcats... Let's put it to you this way. If you had a choice when it came to the Wildcats, would you rather, this is a one-time only deal now, go to watch them play in the SEC football championship game or go to watch them play in the Final Four? Now, I realize you're talking about a conference title game on the one hand and one step from a national championship in the other. But football being what it is in the SEC, Kentucky's status in the league being what it is, and as I've said for as long as I've done this radio show, which is a long time, just once you should go to the championship game, even if Kentucky's not playing. Put that, if you've got a sports bucket list, put it on there. If you don't, start one and put it at the top of the list. Because people in this neck of the woods, I bet if you talk to people at Fayette Mall, well, not Curtis because he'd be swamped by fans. When you go to the mall, do you kind of have to run through it like the Beatles, like they did on A Hard Day's Night, that film?
I have a disguise.
Oh.
That I'm not going to get into too much detail.
Is it a beard? And
I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it.
So you're wearing it right now?
I'm going to talk about what it is or it won't be as effective.
It's really good. Anyhow. Go to the mall and ask. I would bet you that every, let's make the over and under four, not counting kids, every fourth or fifth person has been to an NCAA tournament as a fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I would bet one in less than 10 have gone to see the Wildcats in a Final Four sometime in their lifetime. Is that too high? One in 10.
I think that's probably
been to a lot now.
That isn't crazy, especially since there was one in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
That's really
exactly.
Close. So yeah. Recently.
Yeah. I would just say ever. That would be fun. Not many have been to the SEC football championship game. Obviously, Kentucky's never been there. But I know some people who have because I've been there working it. I worked, gosh, how many in a row? 20? And for SEC radio, and I bump into people. Well, what are you doing there? A friend of mine had a ticket, whatever. It is just unbelievable. It's an incredible experience. So we asked you via Facebook and Twitter, which would you rather see? Would you rather see, and I'm not saying that your team will never go back or anything like that, but we've gotten some really interesting responses, and we're going to talk about that tonight as well. Also, Curtis has some observations about John Calipari and the sacrifice he has made to go to Egypt. And it's got nothing to do with his personal safety, right?
No.
And nothing to do with your personal safety.
Nope.
All right. So we'll hear about that. But Curtis also is going to take on you haters. And he does that all the time. This time, it's the Taylor Swift haters. And he is going to tie that to Kentucky basketball. You're going to want to hear this.
It's going to be very sports related. So
absolutely very. Well, it's already sports related. The reason she's in the news is sports related. But to even drag that into the Big Blue Nation, you're going to want to hear that as well. So not a whole lot of UK news on the horizon right now, except to tell you that former Wildcat Rajon Rondo, I just said we weren't going to talk about the NBA. Well, we're not going to talk about the MVP stuff and all that. I mean, good luck to Russell Westbrook. He probably deserved it. I would have voted for Harden. But the Chicago Bulls in a state of flux right now. They acquired Zach LaVine. And his agent is Bill Duffy, who also represents Rondo. The Bulls have until Friday to decide whether or not to bring back Rondo, the former Wildcat, for $13.4 million or let him become a free agent. He is the most perplexing player, in my opinion, ever to come through UK. Ever.
When the Bulls made the trade, it was, I forget which analyst it was, but he was on doing an interview, and he said, you know, he was talking about the guys that this would impact on the Bulls, and he said, yeah, you wonder how this, what Dwayne Wade thought, and it probably made Rajon Rondo angry, but he's always angry.
That might be the best description I've ever heard of Rondo. And you know his story. He came out of Louisville, was going to go to U of L, or at least wanted to. He's being recruited by Patino, who then turned to Sebastian Telfair and decided he liked Telfair better. I never saw Telfair play in high school or prep school. Obviously, he was very good because he jumped directly to the NBA.
Was he on the cover of Sports Illustrated? He was on. He had like a national cover.
He did.
Of a magazine.
I think you're right.
Because he set the. He was a New York kid,
He
set the New York, one of the New York scoring records.
Yeah. Our buddy Mike Safosnick, the New York City police officer, who's an incredible UK fan and does a great podcast. Yeah, you should check it out. Mike Safo, S-A-F-O. He tweeted or texted me the other day when he saw actually Sebastian Telfair arrested in New York. And I believe Mike knows the arresting officer arrested with just an unbelievable amount of guns. He wants to be a gun dealer, I guess, allegedly. Anyhow, Mike said it really broke his heart because he said he was a huge Sebastian Telfair fan. So anyhow, Patino, the New Yorker, gets the New Yorker to come to Louisville or at least commit. And so Rajon Rondo, looking elsewhere, signs with Kentucky. Could have gone a lot of places. Maybe wanted to stay closer to home. Probably in part wanted to stick it to U of L and Patino. So he comes to Kentucky. All good, right? Well, he and Tubby never got along. There's a shock because Rondo never got along with his high school coach, never got along with his prep school coach until after the fact. One of his advisors was his high school coach. And some of you might recall that between freshman and sophomore year, Rondo went to Tubby and said, "We need to run more." And Tubby said, "Great, let's do it." Because he knew, obviously, he had the goods in Rondo, even though Rondo drove him crazy almost from day one. But you might also recall that second year, his sophomore year, was the year that Randolph Morris had to sit out one semester. And Tubby, every now and then, would say, well, that's going to change when Randolph comes back, or Randolph this or that. And from what I'm told, Rajon just didn't like that. When Rondo decided that he wasn't too crazy about the approach they were going to take with Morris, he let everybody know. How? By not running. And those of us who sat back in the day courtside, and we happened to sit right next to the UK bench, we could hear Tubby yelling, "Go, go, go." And Rondo would walk the ball up the floor. Why? Well, it looked to us like he was trying to make a point, and he walked it up the floor and then stood there and watched Randolph Morris to see if he would make an effort to post up. And sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. And He'd stand at the top of the key, and some of you might remember this, and just bounce the ball, just dribble. And I counted once. He dribbled it 19 times, waiting for Morris to post up, as if to say, all right, we're going to go through Morris. Here's what you get. And he had a case because in December, against teams that admittedly weren't very good, Rondo minus Morris tore it up. I mean, at one point he was averaging a double-double, and I'm talking about rebounds now, not assists. He was close to a triple-double. He was doing it all. And he knew it because in a post-game news conference at one point, somebody said something to him, and I don't remember what triggered the response, but Rondo kind of looked up at him and said, aren't I leading the league in rebounds? And we all said, yes, you are. You know, so clearly he was cognizant of that. Never get along with anybody in the pros. Almost from day one. Well, Celtics traded for him.
Well, yeah, that
within the first year they were trying to trade him away.
But that's when they won their championship.
They sure did. And he still didn't get along with his teammates.
He's someone described him, I heard, as the most selfish guy to get assists. A guy that watches an NBA, he goes, he's the only person I've ever seen make an assist, and you thought, man, that was a selfish play. I don't know. I'm guessing he was trying to say that he, like, you know, was hunting stats and would give up, you know, like a sure thing layup or something. Yeah.
Or he'd give up an easy pass.
Yeah, something.
Or a tougher pass, yeah. Traded him to the Mavericks briefly. That was a disaster. It's just been really interesting. And the spin on this is his agent is pushing the notion that Rondo can be a mentor to the older or younger players as an older guy. And he has made no secret of the fact he wants to be a coach, which I would love to see because how many people would ask him, Coach Rondo, how would you have handled Rajon the player? And his agent said he loves the game. He said, I think he appreciates it more as he's approaching his twilight years. I think he just loves to help develop people. Hmm. How? Who? Why? Give me names. Would love to hear it. So that's an interesting headline. So is this one. Kids who go to Vandy, are they pretty smart, Curtis?
I mean, there's always exceptions, but as a rule, yes.
I think we have discovered a couple of those exceptions. Two Vandy football players shot, not seriously injured, in what police are calling an ill-conceived plan to recover a teammate's stolen cell phone. Donovan Tennyson put us, and folks, do not do this. It's horrifying, but the young man who was shot to death in North Carolina, Cumberland's college baseball, University of Cumberland's baseball player, same thing, was going to buy a cell phone and wound up being murdered. This player offered a cell phone for on sale, met up with a buyer at a Chili's parking lot. You think you're safe. You're not. Whoever stole his phone during the meeting, put it back on Craigslist or whatever that night. So the player and two of his buddies hatched a plan to get it back, and they made an arrangement to buy the cell phone. They show up with a pellet pistol. Guy gets out of the car with a real gun and shot at them. And then the police said another man in the Buick in the car, the bad guy's car, fired a shotgun at them. One guy fled in the Buick, another guy flees in the other car, shots. But, you know, one player ended up with a non-critical gunshot wound to his leg. In other words, received what's called non-critical birdshot wounds to his arms. That might have been what was in the shotgun. First of all, don't go to a parking lot and try to sell your phone to a stranger. Secondly, if you get ripped off, call it in. Do not try to apprehend. Vanderbilt football players now on the injured list. I'm glad everybody's okay. We're trying, you know, you don't want to make too much fun of this, but come on, man, you got to be smarter than that. And as we go to the break, little recruiting news indirectly involving the Wildcats. They're going to have to play against this kid named Zamir White, rated the number one running back in the country, leaves the state of North Carolina. Another great running back. He's rated number one in the country, but leaves North Carolina, says no, of course, to UNC, NC State, Duke, Clemson, which is right on the North Carolina border. It's got a pretty good thing going right now. And chooses the Georgia Bulldogs. Also turned down Ohio State and Alabama. Big get for Kirby Smart, the head coach at UGA. Keith Marshall, Todd Gurley, both North Carolina guys, but signed with Georgia back in 2012. Evidently, that's the place to go for running backs. We'll take a break, come back, and Curtis will open fire on critics of Taylor Swift. That's right. Back in a minute, 6:30, WLAP. I see I'm too late. Got nothing in my brain. This may be a one and only for you.
I think this goes against a previous statement that has been said on these airways that Bo Robinson would never play Taylor Swift. I'm pretty sure he made that claim before.
I probably did, but when you guys are getting ready to go into a segment about Taylor Swift, it's kind of obvious what I was brought in to do tonight.
I agree.
So, this is why they pay me the big bucks here at the iHeart Complex.
I mean, normally, Dick Gabriel's dropping names of the famous people he hobnobs with. But going into that break, he did drop a pretty significant hint. So, you picked up on it, which is what you do, Bo.
Exactly. Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Curtis Birch, and the one and only Bo Robinson. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Fletcher Page of the Courier-Journal will join us. But Fletcher has nothing on Taylor Swift when it comes to topics. Well, we'll give him the chance to defend that. But I came in today, you all riled up about it. Now, you are a Taylor Swift fan, nothing. I like some of her music as well. I don't know that I would aspire to be a part of her group or gang or
body. Oh, I would. Have you seen those vacations they take? Oh, man, those are luxurious.
But they're not going to pay for you. You got to foot your own bill there.
Is that how that works?
It is.
I thought if I became her friend, like, I would get a song written about me, and then I would get to be...
No. That's a boyfriend. That's different. If you aspire to that, I'm behind you 100%.
I'll have to work this out.
All right.
But what I wanted to talk about tonight, and if you're like a fan of just the U.S. What's the Gossip U.S. one called? Anyway, one of the gossip magazines, and you just follow...
National Enquirer?
Yeah, sure. Something like that. Even though this is a little bit different. TMZ type. There we go. That's a good...
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. But the headline would have read that I was seeing like pop up was Taylor Swift comes out of hiding. Apparently she's like on a hiatus or something. And the important news to a lot of people were that she's gone back to her curly hair. And the reason she
that's
was...
something to make a headline out of.
Yes, that was a headline that I read in a tweet. And the reason she came out of hiding and showed this natural curly hair was she was congratulating Russell Westbrook for winning the MVP. And it was kind of this terrible... It was this video, which was almost a minute long, and it was this kind of long, drawn-out, bad joke about her teaching Russell Westbrook how to dunk it, and she taught him how to jump shoot, and then he taught her how to sing a song or something. Not a very good joke, but it all goes back to a story which happened a few years ago as Russell Westbrook went to a Taylor Swift concert and sent out a video of him singing along to one of the songs. Apparently,
and everybody lost their mind.
Yeah, because it was not a cool thing to do for a Russell Westbrook type person to be like, I like Taylor Swift. And so when he won the MVP, she was part of a video montage of several people on the team, supporting of the team, and, you know, just fans of Russell Westbrook. So what ended up happening was, of course, online, people started making fun of Taylor Swift, saying that was a terrible joke. You don't know what you're talking about. Why are you even here? I'm guessing most of them forgot about the backstory, which, you know, makes sense why she was doing it. But,
or they don't care.
Yeah, either way. And so they started ridiculing her. And so what ended up happening was her fans, a.k.a. the Swifties, came out and started hitting back at these people making fun of Taylor Swift. And then, in response to that, the people that were being called out for making fun of Taylor Swift by Taylor Swift fans started making fun of people for, oh, why you got to defend Taylor Swift? And these were all sports people for the most part. And what I will say to you is, if someone called out your team, would you defend your team online?
And or your coach.
And or a player? Yes, you would. And for the most part, I'm guessing you have. So if you're making fun of a Taylor Swift fan and you're a sports fan, you need to look in the mirror.
Because you've done it. I guarantee you, you've done it. You've defended your team, your jersey, your colors, your coach, your favorite player. Maybe your favorite player is Taylor Swift. Well done, Curtis. You're a hero for the next 6 minutes. More to come, 630 WLAP.
What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I don't think that's Taylor Swift.
No, it's not. But I'm gonna tell you something. I don't know if this is true, but this is what Mike Pratt told me.
Well, then it's true.
It's got to be true because this was way before Twitter. He told me Rondo was a Hank Williams fan.
Rondo?
Yes.
Rajon Rondo?
Yes. Okay. Now, I don't know if he was trying to pull a fast one on me, but they were talking music one day, and Rondo told him that he liked Hank Williams, and Pratt said, well, do you know about Hank Jr., Hank Williams Jr.? And Rondo said, there's another one? But he said Hank Sr. calms him down.
Really?
That's what Pratt told me.
Oh, man. I can't say that I will ask him that if I ever get the chance to interview him again, but that would be fascinating. And on that note, let us bring in Fletcher Page of the Courier-Journal. Fletcher, would you ever ask Rajon Rondo that question if he liked Hank Williams?
I would, but, you know, Rondo's in that realm where you could tell me anything about him or his personality or his life, and I would just believe that it was a fact.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Well, I mean, for years, I thought that Connect Four thing was a joke until I saw a video on ESPN of him dominating all comers in Connect Four.
That's true, yeah.
And apparently he's one of the best in the world. I don't know how those rankings come out.
But why is it that the guys, Fletcher, who are so interesting, I mean, such great players can be so bizarre? I guess that's all part of it, but we were talking about Rondo.
You got to take the good and the bad.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That's why, you know, you weren't online, but we were just discussing. We managed to link Taylor Swift to UK Sports just before the break, so we will spare you that. But we do thank you for joining us, Fletcher, the beat writer for the Courier-Journal, and he was there when John Calipari and staff were trying to decide which players to take to Egypt for the under-19s. And, you know, we read your tweets and your stuff that you sent back, and it's a pretty impressive group from all accounts, right?
Certainly, yeah. The whole event was – I mean, there was a lot going on, obviously, with having Calipari and Danny Manning as coaches, Colorado's Tad Boyle, but Roy Williams, Archie Miller, Bill Self on the sidelines, Bruce Pearl, all those guys watching, and then to have some incoming freshmen – in college, to have some players that have already been through one season of college, and then to have the six high school guys there as well. So it was pretty much all kinds of awesome stuff going on there.
Anybody jump off the page at you, or did they sort of take turns doing that?
Yeah, there was a lot of impressive players, but I think the best player that I saw there was Kevin Knox, the Kentucky freshman. I didn't have any questions about the validity of his ranking or anything like that. I just personally had not really looked into him as much. I had been at the McDonald's All-American game, and I had essentially considered that he was going to go to Duke, North Carolina, or Florida State, and that Kentucky was going to get Mohamed Bamba. And, of course, it played out totally different. And so I had a little catching up to do. But I think that Knox was certainly the best player there. And I think that I'm not going to say that he didn't have a hamstring injury, but he had answered all the questions, or there were no questions. So if there was any sign of any kind of injury, I think that Calipari was comfortable with what he'd done and sent him home. And I think there was pretty strong indications that there was a lot to gain for Hamidou Diallo and P.J. Washington to be in 5-on-5 settings, to be playing in structured games. So I think that's certainly why they wanted those guys to go over to Egypt.
So many questions about what you just said, but I do want to know your opinion on Knox. Is he truly positionless? Because Curtis and I were talking about that the other night.
I think so. I think that for some of these guys who might not be positionless, they're working hard to become positionless. I think that's what one of the missions for Diallo this summer was, to work on being able to be a one. And that's not really something we considered that he could do, and he's taken that challenge on. So I think that P.J. Washington is probably more positionless than Knox, if that makes sense. I think Washington might be a guy that can defend the rim as maybe a smaller five. But then also he spent time, if he got defensive rebounds, he was pushing the ball. He played a lot like Draymond Green. So I would say that P.J. Washington probably fits that tag more. But Kevin Knox, being 6'8", 6'9", He can defend most players as well, and then also has the offensive game of a two or a three.
Hey, Fletcher, it's Curtis. And you got a chance to also talk to the guys as they were in this training camp. What did they say about, you know, this whole, like, did you get a chance to ask them what position they think they play, or are they in the same mindset as Calipari, is that it's just the five guys on the court?
Yeah, I asked P.J. Washington that, and he kept calling himself. He just kept saying, I'm a basketball player. And, you know, Kevin Knox kind of said the same things as well. And I don't know. I think Calipari has used this positionless thing before I got here, so I don't have as much experience, obviously, covering Kentucky as some other people. But I think there was it might have been the Ulis Murray Briscoe perimeter team that 2 years ago that he might have used it for some. But I don't know if it's the Warriors or where the influence is coming from, but this is a strong selling point. I think it might be what got Kevin Knox to Kentucky, and it's something that the Kentucky guys are taking a lot of pride in, is that there's going to be some lineup combinations where whoever gets the ball, whoever ends up with the ball on the defensive end kind of becomes the point guard, and you just sort of fill in the lanes and you're just playing basketball. And so I think that the players have embraced it, and Calipari certainly was preaching. I mean, he wore out that positionless player tag. It was another one of his one-liners that he just sort of overused all week.
So we have to brace ourselves for that this upcoming season?
I think you're going to hear that a lot, and you're also going to hear confusing things. You know, because I do this all the time personally. I have to let it go where we like things in a box. You know, we like to hear that a player's a four or a player's a two or a player's a guard. And Calipari, at one point, you know, he said about P.J. Washington, you're not a post player, but you're going to rebound and score in the post.
There you go.
So you're going to hear things like that, and it's going to sound confusing, but it makes perfect sense when you watch him play.
You use the word defend, and I'm wondering, how much defense did you see out there?
I saw more defense later in the week, maybe, than I did earlier in the week. But certainly the 5-on-5, the scrimmage, I thought it was pretty good. The levels and the quality was good. Diallo told me it wasn't nearly as physical as it is in college. So there were some differences. But people were taking a lot of pride in that. I mean, Calipari has challenged Diallo. He wants him to be able to guard 1, 2, and 3. He wants him to be able to guard a small point guard. He wants him to be able to guard somebody like Kevin Knox. So there was a lot of guys out there that were intense on the defensive end. Diallo was probably the one working the hardest at it, being the most athletic guy. But the guys were taking it serious.
Speaking of Diallo, Calipari, I saw in, I think it was one of your interviews, said that he wants him to be a lead guard. And along those lines about positionlessness, he also used the Warriors as an example, saying they don't really have a true point guard, and he kind of, you know, fit Hamidou Diallo in that mold. Did you see Diallo kind of, you know, taking the ball up, if we're not going to use position, you know, to define people?
Yeah, I did. And that was where part of some of the week, especially early on, where if you were watching Hamidou sometimes, you could see that there was I'm not going to say they didn't have a good feel for the game, but there was some awkwardness at times. And one of the things that he was working on this week or last week and through the games in Egypt is making better decisions in transition. Kentucky wants to play up tempo. And in order to do that, again, if whoever gets the rebound becomes the point guard, and you've got to have those guys, you know, making the proper reads, making the necessary decisions. You know, if you're gonna be the point guard, then you assume the responsibilities that come with it. So that's the one area where I think Diallo, besides his 3-point shooting, you kept hearing that whenever he was making his decision for the draft, was that he didn't have a good feel for the game, and that's what you worry about when somebody enrolls in January and doesn't play. And, you know, you don't see them at the draft combine playing 5-on-5, and so you're kind of wondering. And I do think that that's something that he's got to work on, understandably so, given that he just doesn't have the experience. So that was part of this vision. I think Calipari wanted Diallo to go to Egypt so that way he could play in games, play as the one if need be, get some experience and reps in structured 5-on-5 basketball, making these types of decisions he'll have to make this season.
Fletcher Page joining us from the Courier-Journal. He is the beat writer for UK basketball and was on hand when the team was selected, the under-19 team that is going and is already there in Egypt now, and got a look, of course, at future Wildcats. And you mentioned Kentucky guys, Fletcher, and we've heard in the past about how quickly the incoming freshmen have bonded, and certainly this could have been, I assume it was, a great bonding experience. Was that something that you could notice? Was that a tangible thing you could see?
Yeah, it started pretty quickly. Those three guys were roommates, Washington, Diallo, Knox. Early on, Diallo and Knox were on the same team for the first 2 days, all four sessions that I saw them. And then later, when all three were made finalists, they were on the same group of five together, running through drills and then running through scrimmages. So, I don't know if maybe we made too much out of that, because the rest of the team is together, or was together too, in Lexington. So there was team bonding going on no matter where you were at. And but you did get a feel, or I did, especially whenever they were cut from 27 to 18, and you started again talking about this positionless thing. And whenever all three of those guys were on a group of five, it was something to see. Washington be the point guard at times, bringing the ball up the floor, and Diallo and Knox filling lanes. So you got to see them kind of all three together at times.
You know, it's something when we talk about incoming freshmen, and then again when we talk about recruits, I'm wondering, when they're out there on the floor, they've got maybe a year's difference. Can you see that much of a difference physically in them, Fletcher?
Yeah, definitely. You could see, I could go case by case, but I think for like a guy like Romeo Langford, he was a little, Calipari actually said that he did defer on the first day, and I think a lot of it had to do with him just, needing to kind of get a taste of it and then realize he could do it. It was for confidence. But also, all the way up to, like, you take 7'3" Bol Bol, and then you watched 7'1" Mitchell Robinson, who's going to Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
There was just you could certainly see the difference between Robinson being 230 pounds and Bol Bol being, maybe 215. I mean, you can just see it, and then obviously it comes through in a more positive, confident, first step and aggressiveness. So you could tell, but I tell you what, those six high school kids, they earned the respect of the players there. Everybody there told me that wasn't just about it, a lot of it was Calipari recruiting them,
yeah,
and trying to get to know them, but those six guys certainly proved that they belonged, and four of them ultimately made the team.
Is there a more fun basketball name to say than Bol Bol?
I don't think so, and Calipari turned it into, he called him Bol Bol every single time he said his name, which is quite a bit, so he actually turned it into one word, which is kind of like a Bobo. It was pretty funny hearing Calipari call that out, 50 times a practice.
Were you surprised that he ended up getting cut?
The first day I actually told Ben Roberts from the Herald Leader, and I didn't want to sound stupid. Sometimes, you say things at these events and you sound stupid, but I was like, Bol Bol is like, it kind of seemed like he has he blocks shots and he rebounds so effortlessly. Sometimes it doesn't even look like he's trying. And so I was like, I'm having a hard time telling if he's good or not. He certainly is great. But I feel like he's still got a long way to go. And I think that he had a first couple of great days. Sunday was good, and then Monday. And then he just, every day, just sort of started to fade. And again, we're talking about this positionless basketball. Calipari only kept two traditional fives. He kept Austin Wiley from Auburn, Brandon McCoy from going to UNLV, and the rest of this is just sort of these ambiguous players. And I just think he sort of ran out of spots for a big like Bol, who just wasn't as impressive over the last haul. But, as it relates to if he'll go to Kentucky because of that, which might be the next question, I think it's probably going to be a good thing in the long run. Bol hung around. He got to play for Calipari for, 4 days. Cal was hard on him, was working him real hard, complimented him quite a bit during practice. And then ultimately, Bol wasn't good enough to make the team. He's got a lot to work on. I actually saw him come out of his exit meeting when Calipari gave him the news. He looked the same as he always did, and I would imagine this is an opportunity for him to respond to a little bit of adversity.
So if you can, given what you know about the smidgen of experience Kentucky has on its roster already, what kind of team are you projecting? And I can only assume you agree with Mike Pratt that we aren't going to know everything about this team until March.
Oh, totally. I agree with Mike on that, in that the types of maybe the starting lineup, certainly, but the rotations and how these guys will play will certainly be drastically different from – from October to March, and as it always is. But I think this team is certainly is going to be a little bit different. You know, last year we had a pretty good idea. Outside of Winion and Derek switching in and out a little bit, we had a pretty good idea how things were going to go. People had their roles set in pretty soon. It was just a matter of individual development coming together. This team, you know, I don't know. It's hard to read. Does it make more sense to play Sasha Kalea Jones at the five and then try to figure out what you do with what P.J. Washington at the four?
Yeah.
Where does Winion Gabriel fit in all this? So some of those sophomores are really the question. I have no question that these guys I saw last week can play. It's just a matter of where they're going to play, how they're going to play. If Diallo really can play the one, does that mean that he'll get some run there when Quade Green needs a break? And that means that there's going to be more time at the two than we thought. So a lot of questions, and I think it's a lot of elite basketball program Calipari questions. If you're having a hard time figuring out who's going to play where because they're too versatile, that's a pretty classic Calipari conundrum.
Speaking of Calipari, and I know I don't know how much access you guys got to everything, but what do you think he as a coach is going to learn from all this, you know, just being around all these other guys and then going and seeing the international game?
I don't know specifically, but I'll say that he was in the best mood that I've seen him in last week. It was like he didn't mind speaking to the media, which there was only like three or four of us there, but I think he really enjoyed – it was almost like like playing fantasy sports or something. It was basically what Calipari does in a calendar year. That was condensed into 4 days, which was here's all this amazing talent, and you have access to all of it, and you can pick any of it, and then you whittle it down one time, and then you run it again. I mean, he was having such a good time splitting those teams up, playing 5-on-5, just letting guys go make plays, evaluating it. And then they made another cut, and then he was down to 12. Yeah. And then he was right into that. Like, once they made that cut to 12, it was the practice was structured just like a Kentucky practice with the warm-up and then getting right into installing the offense, which was very similar to Kentucky's, I might add. And then they're right into working on pick-and-roll defense, which is the most important thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really think he just really had a good time just being around all that talent. And, of course, Calipari's in the center of all of it, despite all these great programs with all the assistants and head coaches out on the perimeter watching it. And so it was kind of the best of all worlds for Calipari.
Well, I'm sure it was loud, whatever he was saying, because you know how he likes to crank up the decibel level at his practices. Fletcher Page is the beat writer for UK Basketball, covers it for the Courier Journal online, couriergernal.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Fletcher Page. Thank you, sir. We will talk to you down the road.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. And when we come back, Curtis will draw another link between the world of sports and another show business personality. In fact, it's another former Wildcat and Rihanna. Back in a minute, 6:30 WLAP. Now she's in the news, along with a former Wildcat, technically a former Wildcat, and one of Curtis's favorite players. But it's not what you think. Is that what we're hearing?
Well, yes, because...
talking about Rihanna.
Yeah, Rihanna. And I swear I don't follow these, like, TMZ and get all these reports, but Rihanna apparently was...
spills over into sports.
was pictured with a guy that looks like he could be from
the Turkish... mystery man.
Yeah, the Mediterranean. I don't know where you would... He looks
Middle East,
looks like he could be Turkish.
Yeah.
And so there's all these pictures of them... having a nice vacation.
Dark,
together,
swarthy, with some facial
with
hair.
A mustache.
Not unlike yourself.
And everyone saw these pictures, and as normally paparazzi are, they're kind of far away, and they're not the best of quality. And the man is not the subject of the photograph, so his face is never completely shown. And it kind of looks like Enos Kanter. And so the internet went crazy and said...
Well, is the internet or just you?
No, this is the internet. I did a Twitter search, and there was like hundreds of tweets about this, and it was basically everyone saying, "Is Rihanna dating Enos Kanter?" And Kanter, a few minutes ago, sent out a tweet. He said, "Relax, LOL. That ain't me in the pool with her. Y'all fools for that."
Now, my question is, if you're Enos Kanter, she's Rihanna. And I'm not saying Enos has problems in the area of landing a woman, But wouldn't you let that ride for just a little bit longer?
I wouldn't say anything for a while. I would go on like social media, quiet. Just let that rumor.
Absolutely. Now, maybe he's got a girlfriend. Maybe she's upset.
That might have done it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I let it ride. And I let her have some fun with it. Football championship game or Final Four, that's next.
Thank you for listening to Big Blue Insider. I'm Curtis Birch. You can follow me on Twitter at Curtis Birch, B-U-R-C-H. Be sure to follow at Big Blue Insider 1. Like the Facebook page, just search Big Blue Insider and check out our website, BigBlueInsider.com. Also, subscribe on iTunes and give us a rating. Thanks again for listening.
Welcome back to the show. Hour number two of our program, Dick Gabriel, Curtis Birch, Bo Robinson, and you at 280-2287. Tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. We are going to look at the results of our unofficial, informal, but fun summer survey. If you're a UK fan or not, but if you could choose one event, one destination for your team for one particular season, trip to the SEC football championship game, or for your basketball team, men's basketball, a trip to the Final Four, which would it be? We're going to talk about that here in hour number two, as well as other sports-related stuff. But first, let's go to Rick on line three. Hi, Rick.
Hey, when I first turned on the radio, I thought I heard you say, this was about seven after the hour, six, that you didn't want to talk too much about the NBA awards night or whatever.
Right.
What's the reasoning behind that?
We wonder how many people are interested. Would you like to talk about it?
Well, I mean, I just wondered if if you called it a no-fly zone or whatever.
Because Dick was watching LeVar Ball on wrestling last night, so he doesn't want to come from an uninformed position. That's why he is, trying to talk around the NBA awards.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and I didn't watch every minute of it. As a matter of fact, I got up this morning about 7 o'clock, and I had it on. DVR, and I started watching it, and I enjoyed it. I don't like a lot of award show. I like the academies, but I don't like every little award show going. But this was actually done pretty classy. Drake did a hell of a job of emceeing the thing.
He's a sports nut.
Yeah, and he's also a big Kentucky fan.
That's right.
When certain players are playing here, but
I
was very impressed by the Bill Russell.
Now that I would like to have seen. He is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, if you get a chance
to see him
getting that Lifetime Achievement Award or whatever the hell they called it. When they brought Kareem, did all the talking, but among some of the centers who were there, they brought on all the six centers, I think it was, Dikembe Mutombo, Shaq, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and I think Alonzo Mourning might have been one of them.
Sure.
But anyway, when they brought him out, I get that he's probably not real great at addressing crowds like he was a few years ago. He looked at all of them leaning against his cane, and he shook his finger at him and he said, "I just call your ass."
Well, now I've got to find it. Now I've got to find it.
I was laughing, but I had tears because, I mean, he was my introduction to pro basketball. The Celtics, those teams of the mid to late 60s especially, the ones that he starred in.
You had the right idea. If you DVR'd it so you could zip through the commercials, you could zip through whatever you didn't want to watch. That's the way to do it.
Well, that's the only way to do anything that you really want to watch that's
You're
worth
right.
watching.
You're right, except for maybe a live sporting event. But,
even that, and let me tell you something. I'm a big Cincinnati Bengals fan, but I don't start watching the games that come on at 1 till 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I got it.
By the time you zip through all the commercials and do a few replays.
Yep, you're caught up.
You're caught up at the very end, and then you can go out and listen to the star that, what's his name? Lapham going through the locker room talking to all the guys, especially after a win. It's pretty good timing, really.
You're right about that. That's true. We just wondered how much interest would there be in our listeners about that. But I'm glad you were interested, and I'm glad you called to share. And now you've prompted me to go find that portion about Bill Russell. I have been very, very fortunate in my life. I have met a lot of famous people, and he is maybe the favorite celebrity I've ever met. Could not have been kinder. I met him in 1984 at the Final Four in Seattle, where he lives now, and because Kentucky was playing up there, and he is an absolute hero.
He's a hero. He's a gentleman. He's been an activist. I see a guy like him, and like I said, he was my introduction to pro basketball.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, I welled up with tears just proud of a guy who is, you know, beyond the point of maybe communicating real well with people. But for what he's done and what he brought,
yep.
First, he was the first player, African-American coach
That's
of
right.
any sport.
That's
and
right.
he played and won two championships
That's
in
right.
that capacity.
And you think about the crap that he had to put up with for being black in that
oh
era.
I'm
with you.
That's all.
I'm with
hey,
you.
One more word about Rondo.
Yep.
You know, look what he did at Chicago this year, and what happened to him when he wasn't playing in the playoffs. They took a 2-0 lead and lost four straight in
yep.
his absence.
Yep. He's a great
when he
player.
When he gets in the right place like he was in Boston early on, I think the guy's still got a lot of potential, and you might have to put up with some crap. But, you know, every good softball team I ever played on had a couple of A-holes on the team.
I got you.
Couldn't have won it without him.
But remember now, in Boston, you had Bill Garnett. I'm sorry, Kevin Garnett. I always call him Bill.
That would have been a heck of a player
there,
if
there
you could find Russell.
There was a former player named Bill. Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, and you haven't met two saltier guys, and they were able to keep him in his place, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so. I know, but let me tell you something. Without Rondo, without Rondo, they wouldn't have won the playoffs.
You're right.
He should have been MVP of the finals,
yeah.
in my opinion.
Some people said that he wasn't just because of his personality, but who knows. Hey, Rick, appreciate the call. All right. 280-228-7800-606-4263. You can tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. Interesting comments. Glad to hear that Rick enjoyed the award show. You turned it off?
Before it started, because Draymond Green was on the red carpet.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's going to ruin anything. You're going to let Draymond dictate what you watch.
And he was wearing a suit. It was a nice suit jacket and shirt. And I forget if it was a regular tie or bow tie. But instead of normal suit pants, he had shorts.
Like, were they basketball shorts or Madras shorts?
I didn't have it on long enough to decipher.
Oh, all right.
They look like you basically. He might have just cut off, like, got his shorts. His pants were too short, and he just cut them into shorts. I don't know, but he looked ridiculous.
Well, do what Rick did next time and DVR it. All right, we asked the question, your choice for your teams this coming year, UK football to the SEC championship. Now, mind you, I didn't say win. To the SEC championship game or a trip to the men's basketball Final Four. And the reason I didn't say win, I didn't want to make it an SEC football title or a national basketball championship. I thought that might balance things out. So we got about 300 answers between Twitter and Facebook. And Curtis, you've got the responses. You've got the numbers on Twitter, I believe.
I do. On Twitter, it is 64% SEC football championship.
How about that? 64% to 36% for basketball. Here are some of the comments. My buddy Stuart Warner out in Arizona, he lives there now. So he said Final Four, he got my tickets to San Antonio. Ryan said Final Four. Matt said Final Four for sure. Dave said Final Four, but Scott says SEC title game. He says, come on, folks, how often is that going to happen? Kim said Final Four because there's a chance the Cats may win another national title, of course. Steve says football. My buddy Rob over in Louisville says, no doubt Final Four. We at least have a shot in basketball. Said, I'm not saying we haven't improved in football, just that the championship may be a few years off still. And then Matt wrote in and said, I think you misread the question there, Chief. Yeah, Rob, you did. You're already in the championship game. Come on, Rob. Next time I'm home, I'm going to have to give him a hard time. Our old friend John Alexander, former producer of this very program, living out in Colorado now, said SEC championship game. He said, even if we get curb stomped, it would be huge for the program. That sounds like John. Bob says football championship game would be huge, which it would. Adam says, I want to say SEC championship in football, but Final Four means we have a minimum 25% chance at a national title. I would take UK somehow making the college football playoff in a heartbeat or winning the SEC football championship, not just making it, but, man, it would be a major step just to finally make it. But if you make the championship game, by definition, don't you have a 50-50 chance of winning?
Well,
I mean, if you're looking at 25% chance in the Final Four, right? Then it's 50-50 in a championship game, right?
You don't think?
I don't know that you'd get those odds.
Saban, though.
You're just assuming they'd play Saban?
Yes.
Probably would. My friend Denise said Final Four. Alan said Final Four. This is on Facebook now. Tiffany says SEC championship, no doubt. That means we finally turn the corner, and it would be crazy around here. Scott chimes in and says, Tiffany gets it. My daughter, Kate, this is her answer, and it was the weirdest answer, of course. Depends on who the players are. What? And that was my response. What? She never answered back. Ray says, I would like personally to see the football title game, but I'd rather have the basketball team in the Final Four. So I guess if it's just about the SEC title game, he'll pass. But if they can get to the championship bowl game, he'll take that. Lynn says, plan B, not a huge fan of football. Tom says, SEC football championship game in Catlanta. Edwin said, basketball Final Four. Todd says, SEC football championship would take the football program to a new level.
Can I ask you, I'm going to stop there because there's been a lot of mentioning of that. Is that all the way true, though?
What?
If you make the SEC championship game, the program turns a corner because Missouri made it back-to-back years, and where's Missouri right now?
I've always said you never know if a program's turn or a game or a person or whatever has turned a corner until you can turn around and look at it.
Well, that's what I mean.
So I'm with you. I think It raises it to a new level. There's no question. Can you stay at that level or near that level? Now, if you can turn around 5 years later and look at everything that's happened since that first trip,
yeah,
and it's been good stuff, then you can say, yeah, that's where we turned the corner back then if you're a Kentucky fan. But you make a great point about Mizzou. Missouri fans, I'm sure, were like, yeah, we're going to the championship game. That's what we do.
Yeah. And also, if you look at the last three SEC East representatives, I'm looking at Wikipedia, the SEC championship game right now, so I'm guessing these are rankings going into the game. Number 14, Missouri. Number 18, Florida. And number 15, Florida. That was 2014, 15, and 16. So, in theory, potentially, you know, if we're looking at next season, you're looking at a top, you know, 15 program to get to reach the point of the SEC championship. So you have to contrast that. The Final Four is a top four program,
yep,
in, you know, all things being equal. So that's the one thing that, you know, you gotta kinda look at, because they're not completely equal, and that's what makes the question so much fun.
It is. And the other fun thing is you do not have to be ranked in the AP top 25 to make the Final Four in basketball.
Yeah.
That's possible.
South Carolina.
Exactly. That, you're right. That's what makes it fun. All right, before we hit the break, John, what's up?
Oh, nothing much. It's kind of unusual that Rajon Rondo like St. Wayne Sr. I'm kind of surprised.
Well, if indeed that is the case, now we have our lead investigator on it. Curtis has tweeted at Rajon Rondo, has not yet gotten a response. If he does not respond, John, does that mean that Rajon does not like Hank Sr.?
I don't know. The best song that Hank Wayne Sr. had out, I don't know if you remember it, but I Saw the Light.
Bo, can you help us there?
The best song Hank Wayne Sr. had out was I Saw the Light.
Yeah. Hank Wayne Sr., I Saw the Light.
It's a gospel song.
He's right on that. It's no debate.
I Saw the Light. Heard that one?
Yeah, of course, John. It's a great one.
Yep.
J. John, you when you got Bo in the control room, that's a tough test.
I know. It's good that Diablo and Washington are going to be on the 1900 team.
That's going to help. There's no question about that. It's going to help them with their game. It's going to help them learn John Calipari. They're going to know what it's like to be coached by him. And as Fletcher Page was pointing out, I'm sure you heard him, you know, now they know the way Calipari wants things done.
That's
and
right.
That and might sound overly simplified, and you may say, well, duh, but they'll be so far. And, of course, Diallo's already ahead. He already knows.
Yep. And when you talk about the football championship game for Kentucky or the Final Four, I pick both. Women's and men's Final Four and the ACC championship.
John, why does that not surprise me about you? I had a feeling that would be the case. So
I figured, why not?
If we have all of the above, you can check that off, all right?
That's right.
All right, thanks, John. We'll take a break, come back, and listen to more of your comments. And if you'd like to weigh in on it, 280-2287, tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. Back in a minute here on 630 WLAP. Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Curtis Birch, Bo Robinson spinning those platters that matter tonight. Might have a new NCAA champion tonight. Florida LSU playing in the College World Series. That's right, an all-SEC final. And Florida won game one last night. It's the best 2 out of 3 when you get to the championship game. So the Gators can lock it up tonight. Tigers can force a game 3. That would be tomorrow night. It's all happening in Omaha. And if you didn't know much about college baseball before this season because of the big splash made by the baseball Wildcats, you know now that all you have to do is say Omaha, and every fan of college baseball, every player, every coach will know exactly what you're talking about. It's different, of course, in college basketball because the Final Four rotates in the Southeastern Conference. Players will talk about, we want to get to Atlanta, stuff like that. But in college baseball, Omaha is where it's at. And we put something up earlier today on BigBlueInsider.com about the fact that this Kentucky team believed that it was going to go to Omaha. And what's interesting about this is the fact that this was the first year that any of these guys on this team really even talked about it. And that's not a knock on the previous coaching staff. In fact, a lot of coaches believe in coaching that way. We want to take it one game at a time, and we don't want to get our sights way down the road because you lose sight of what's in front of you. Nick Mangione sort of measured this team, realized he had a lot of mature upperclassmen, and they could handle it. And now that the younger guys know how to handle it, this is going to feed on itself. I promise you, the next time he sends out a group text when his season is about to begin, he'll tag it with, the hashtag will be Omaha. He'll always do that. If you want to know more about it, go to BigBlueInsider.com. We've got a piece up right now about the fact that they believed and why they believed and how it happened, and a little bit of a look at next year's ball club. They got a good recruiting class, kind of heavy on the JUCOs, which you might expect because they lose so many experienced, talented guys from this year's team. But if you are a fan of UK baseball at all, we think you'll enjoy it. Back to our comments from you on whether or not you would like to see your team go to the SEC football championship. Would you like to see that for the Wildcats? Would you like to see them go to the SEC football championship game, or would you like to see the basketball team go to the Final Four, men's Final Four? What did you say it was on Twitter, the percentages?
64% said SEC championship game.
How about that? Now, it seems on Facebook more people are leaning toward basketball, but a lot of you like the idea of your team going to the football championship game. In fact, Ann said a trip to the football championship game would be a unique experience and exciting, but she says not getting to the Final Four kind of messes up my whole year. I expect it, and the whole season leads up to it. It's a letdown to not get that far. She said, that's crazy, I know, but when you grow up planning your life around UK basketball games, that's just how it is. I can't argue with that. I know a lot of people who agree with her. By the way, Greg said he didn't say we couldn't have either. I voted for football because basketball might take care of itself. That's very clever. We'll come back and take a look at more answers. And we'll hear from you here on 630 WLAP. Walk like an Egyptian. Now, we were talking about the Bengals, not the Bengals.
I just want to know if Calipari's going to walk like an Egyptian.
He might. Have you played this song yet, Curtis, or did Bo beat you to it?
I play the Bengals all the time.
The Bengals, not the Bengals.
What about the Bengals?
Yeah.
That's a cheerleading team.
That's more my speed.
I know. Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Curtis Birch, Bo Robinson, and you. 280-2287-800-606-4263. Tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. John tweeted at us that he would prefer the SEC football championship. We did put a poll out there on Twitter. Big Blue Roofing tweeted at me and said, I think this proves we are truly a football state desperately wanting success. Hard to argue about that. It is a football state, and, yep, people desperately want success. There's no question about that.
I thought it was a baseball state.
That, too. All of the above.
I'm just trying to
keep up. Ask John Short. All of the above. Don't try to keep up. It only slows up the works, in the words of Radar O'Reilly. Steve tweeted, by the way, I heard a rumor UK season football ticket sales are down again. Have you heard anything about total sales for 2017? You know, I saw some early numbers. Quite honestly, Steve, and I cannot remember what they were. All I can tell you is I don't pay attention to them at this time of the year. With all due respect to your question, everybody frets about it at this time of the year. But two things to remember. Number one, ticket prices are always going up. Everybody's always adjusting their budgets. There are going to be people who do not re-up on their football season tickets. You've got companies right now working on their fiscal budgets, and a lot of season tickets are bought by companies, by corporations. But also, it's very much an emotional buy. And there are people, I've had people tell me when they've been really frustrated, you know, that's it, I'm not buying them. But I say that every year, and I'll probably, I've had people say that. I'm not buying them. I'm not going to renew. But by the time we're done talking, I probably will. You know, that's just the way it works. But this is certainly, I've got to think, a time when you would expect season ticket sales to be up a little bit. Not this time of year, but this coming season.
Well, I was going to say, aren't we looking at the end, like the result of last season, and comparing them to before all the sales are done in this year?
It's too early.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Also, speaking of like emotional decisions, have you seen all the like NBA teams with their ticket sale teams like losing their minds? Like the Timberwolves and 76ers, they had like rooms full of people selling millions of dollars worth of these tickets because they, like, everyone was so happy they had a good draft or they got Jimmy Butler, when in all actuality you're still going to be struggling for like the eighth spot.
I did hear an NBA talking head, I think it was this morning, say, and if you're a Karl Anthony Towns fan, as you are because you guys are boys, this is good news. He was saying he believes that with the moves the Wolves have made, and every move they make, of course, is predicated on building around Karl Anthony Towns, they will leapfrog teams in the conference and move into the playoff picture, maybe as high as third in the conference. That's a little bit of pie in the sky, you know, but – now, you know, and then, you know, to your point about rooms full of people and millions of dollars, we wonder why they make such a big deal out of the draft. And do you not believe that that explains as much as anything why the one and dones, or the guys who have come from Europe, or really the two and dones, why they are more popular at the top of the draft than the 4-year guys?
Yeah.
I mean, 4-year guys are solid. You know what you're getting.
Well, that's it.
There is very, comparatively speaking, very little sizzle, is there?
And they're blank. They're more of a blank slate.
Exactly.
You can paint all your hopes and dreams on them.
Because oftentimes that's all a blank slate is, a sizzle.
Yeah.
You know, go back and look. Again, Mike DeCourcy, who breaks down numbers and trends as well as anybody in our business, and by our, I just mean not just radio, but media in general. He wrote a great piece about it. And he didn't say this, but what he essentially said between the lines and between the numbers is most first-round draft picks, compared to what is expected of them, are failures. what is expected of them is moving their team to the proverbial next level. If you are on the back end and you're a contender and you're a Final Four team, does your number one pick make you a champion? More often than not, no, because he's not one of the best guys in the draft because you're drafting last or near last. And if you're at the top, you might draft the rookie of the year and you might win, what, five more games? Because the rest of your team stinks. But you listen to what Curtis just said about rooms full of people selling millions of dollars worth of tickets. That's all hype.
Yeah.
All hype.
It's just, I mean, so what it could end up happening, I mean, is if Kentucky, I mean, as silly as it sounds, Kentucky football gets a couple big commitments and season tickets are going to spike.
Yeah.
Even though that's not going to have, specifically right now, this commitment is not going to have any impact on the field next year because he's not even here. But
that's right.
It's an emotional decision in a lot of instances.
And a lot of you out there who probably heard him say that have leaned back and said, well, not me. I've seen this happen too often. That is correct. So have I. So is Bo. Curtis a little bit younger, so we've got some generational difference here. Younger generations of Kentucky fans and really people who came up during the social media explosion probably more prone to that, to the instant gratification. You know, if you've watched Kentucky football for a long time, you've heard about the hype and you've not seen it on the field. But of late, there has been progress. There has been outstanding recruiting. And so you can link the two and really not think about past failures because you're not all that aware of it. Now you're going to run into that at times in the SEC. But if Stoops and his staff keep doing what they're doing, you got to think that they're just going to keep grinding their way, if not to the top, to better bowl games through the years. Their problem is they play in the toughest conference in America. Some say the third toughest conference behind the NFC and the AFC. So if they made it to a football championship game, how much fun would that be? That would be a lot of fun.
Atlanta's awesome. Everybody complains about the traffic, but I've never had a bad time in Atlanta.
Well, as I said, I've been incredibly fortunate through the years. I'm not doing that job anymore, but I used to be the producer of the SEC football championship game on the SEC radio network. And that was one of my all-time favorite assignments. Didn't have a dog in the hunt. Just interested in putting a good broadcast on the air. My buddy Dave Neal was the play-by-play man. Jeff Van Note was our color guy for years. At times, my son went with me as my assistant producer. And it is an unbelievable experience. I just hope Kentucky fans someday can accompany their team to that event. If it's just once, I would love to see that happen.
Well, and now, don't we get the brand new spectacular dome in Atlanta that looks like a spaceship?
Yeah.
So that would brings it to a whole nother level. We need to ask Bo what he would prefer.
Yeah, I need to get down there for a game in that facility, even if I'm not working.
What would I prefer?
Yes.
Well, I've struggled with this one.
I was
going
to say this ought to be good.
The party animal in me says SEC championship game. My heart says Final Four. But logic and for the betterment of the football program, I'm going with SEC championship game.
All right. I mean, keep in mind the basketball team the next year can go back to the Final Four.
I've never had that experience. Like most people, never had that experience going.
Yeah.
And I had a blast going to the bowl games when I went.
Yeah.
Let's turn it up a few notches and just praise hell.
Yeah. You're right. That's a great point.
I want to do it.
A lot of you have been to bowl games. I talked earlier, if you're just joining us, I talked about if you stood in the middle of Fayette Mall and just sort of bumped into folks and said, hey, have you ever been to the Final Four? Maybe one in 8.5 or 9 would say, yeah. Yeah, I went once. We, pulled our whatever. We went to the Final Four because they've had a lot of opportunities to do that.
And here's the other thing.
I'd be amazed if you went to Fayette Mall on a given day and stood there for 8 hours and found one person who had been to the SEC title game football.
I've never been to a Final Four, never been in a national championship game. Would love to do it. It will happen one day. But I have celebrated 3 national championships in this town.
Oh, I know that.
Extensively.
And stayed out of jail.
And miraculously stayed out of jail. So why not do the SEC championship game?
Yeah. Well, some people are so devoted to their basketball. Now, Kim said, Football, been there, done that with basketball. Time to cheer on some big-time football. And she said, and basketball. Troy Lee Thomas said, football, definitely been to a lot of Final Fours, so let's make something different for 1 year. You just don't see UK and SEC championships in football. Something new would be nice. Scott says, I'd rather see the football team in an SEC championship match. For years, that program's had its ups and downs, tons of negative feedback. Would be a huge boost to the entire program. Jeff says Final Four. Rodney says football. It isn't even close.
Now, how much pressure would the fans put on themselves? I mean, you know, there's a lot of pressure and stress from the fans during football. I mean, during basketball season, Final Four. And it just ruins everybody's year when they go out early or lose in a Final Four. But wouldn't the fan base just be like, all right, we're here. We're just going to enjoy our time here in the SEC championship game?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Win or lose, you go to another bowl game after that. You realize that, right? You win that game, you're probably you're in the Final Four of football. Yeah. You win that game, you are probably going to the title game. You lose that game, you're probably going to what, the Sugar Bowl?
Well, you're going to.
Did you party in New Orleans?
I've done it.
I know.
So have I. It's fun.
Curtis walks down Bourbon Street, and now it's like, "Hi, Mr. Birch."
It's easier for Bo to say that about just being happy to be there, but once you get there, I think the angst will still be quite great.
Oh well, I have mood swings, so.
No, once they kick it off, brother.
Yeah, now the pressure's on.
Yeah, trust me, there are 70,000, there were in the old zone. 70,000 people just glad to be there. But, buddy, once they kick it off now, they got to have that win.
And if they lost, you know, if it was a close game, then, yeah, I am probably prone to destroy something.
Atlanta City fathers are glad to hear that. Bring your own couch. You can't pull a couch out of the lobby at the Marriott.
Well, you can.
You know, you'll make it a few feet before you're arrested. Matt says, football, not even close. Anyone who says otherwise either doesn't realize how much bigger and more important or more significant football is than basketball, or needs to take a step outside of the big blue echo chamber.
Well, that's a little condescending.
Wow.
Also, I think my point earlier about the last three SEC East teams being ranked between 14th and 18th going into the game kind of shows that while a really great accomplishment and never to be downplayed, it can be achieved by a good team, not necessarily a great team. Just because you're in the SEC championship game doesn't mean, you know, that you're an all-timer.
It would for Kentucky. It would be the all-time great.
Well, no, it wouldn't, though.
For Kentucky?
What was the best UK?
You said an all-timer.
What was
the
best
UK? All-timer.
Okay, well, it wouldn't be the all-timer.
No, it would
in
not.
Theory.
No. Modern era, 77.
Yeah.
When you throw in accomplishments, 51.
Well, that's so. I mean, if they made it, if Kentucky was ranked 13th and made it to the SEC championship and lost, that would be the third best Kentucky team ever.
At best.
So,
yeah.
I mean. Yeah. Well, how about you get out of your big blue echo chamber, because you sound like a super negative UK football fan that doesn't remember all the good times back in the day.
Well, I doubt if it goes back to 51. But what I'm going to say is it's more significant to you. It's more significant to other football fans. It's not. It's all relative. It's not more significant to Kentucky basketball or to Kentucky fans, period. And that's all that matters.
Now, see, I know a good friend of mine, huge Kentucky basketball fan.
How big a boy is he?
He's smaller than Curtis.
Wow.
As far as height-wise. But does not care about football at all.
Huh.
Does not care. So he would go.
That's all right.
He would go Final Four all the way.
Yeah, they're out there.
Could care less about football.
Gary Tanner wrote in. Gary was the Wildcat, you know, wore the suit there, the costume back in the 70s.
Well, I think his opinion should lead the way then.
Well,
what is it?
He makes a great point. He's spoiled. He said, I would like both, like in 77, 78, I like being spoiled.
See?
That year, Kentucky went undefeated in SEC football, was not awarded. It was on probation, so could not call itself the SEC champion. And won the SEC basketball championship and went on to win the national title. That was one heck of a year.
I believe in the same year they won the SEC championship in wrestling, too.
Might have.
I think they did.
They had a tremendous wrestling program in the 70s. George Massey, former defensive tackle, what do you think he said?
Basketball.
Nope. Try again. David said, definitely football. Said, I've been to one Final Four. I'm sorry, basketball. He said, I've been to a Final Four. Would love to go again. Jason says, football. It would be historic. But he said, granted, we would probably be looking for a new football coach as well. Ooh, really? You think that would happen?
Well, he would go away.
You think?
He would get hired by somebody.
You think he really would?
Stoops would. Yeah. And I mean,
who would hire him? Would he take the job?
Well, that's a whole other discussion, but he would get offered jobs.
That's not the point. This guy said he'd be gone. So who would hire him away?
Okay.
A Power Five school that would win. Now, if they threw a truckload, if they threw a truckload of money at him,
yeah. In this mythical world, we're now, you know,
well, that's what we do here, Curtis.
Jim Harbaugh got offered $50 million and took the Kansas City Chiefs job. Whatever. He's back in the NFL. Michigan has no head coach. Kentucky gets to an SEC championship game and wins, and now they're in the Final Four. Mark Stoops just pulled the top two players out, two of the top players out of Michigan. Who are they going to hire?
They're going to offer.
Well, I know they're going to offer.
That's the difference. Would he go?
I don't know.
Come on now. It's your mythical world. The question is,
yes, he would.
How much would they offer? That's the key.
More than Kentucky could.
They got a lot of money in Michigan. So Curtis has...
I won't answer.
Stoops,
I won't
going answer. Just going to the title game and leaving for Michigan.
I won't answer if he would take
Mark
it or not.
Stoops to Curtis is disloyal,
but he would get offered more money.
Michigan's got more money. There's no question. Good problem to have.
Yeah, if that becomes an issue.
Yeah, that would be an interesting problem to have. We've got a lot more answers to take. We'll save some of these for tomorrow. Way too many more, and they're still pouring in. This is fun.
I have some, after this break, some exciting news for UK basketball fans.
Are you going to win back the hearts of UK fans after?
No, I'm not going to win.
After already calling their football coach greedy and disloyal.
Well, this is for basketball fans.
I know, but I'm talking about fans in general.
It's going to make their TV viewing of UK basketball
year
better.
I'm in. Back in a minute, 6:30, WLAP. It was on this day in 1973, one of my favorite Bond movies, my favorite Roger Moore Bond movie, in fact, Live and Let Die, was released. And going back, no, I was not there, Curtis. In 1929, the first color TV was demonstrated in New York City. Did not become a regular thing until, gosh, the 60s, really. But I go back in my, and a lot of you out there too, heard your favorite TV shows announced or whatever the name was, and you'd hear a guy go, in color. And if you had a black and white TV set, that made you feel like crap.
Did they have the Price is Right sound back then? It was like, burr, burr, burr,
burr. They should have. Wah, wah. Loser, black and white loser. Yeah, there it is. All right, you had something?
Yeah, I have my good news for UK fans going into the next college basketball season. Oftentimes, you'd turn on ESPN, you'd be ready to watch some college basketball, and there'd be this guy named Miles Simon commentating, you know, talking about the game. And, of course, UK fans hate him because he beat him in a national
right.
championship game, took away what could have been a three-peat.
Kind of Christian Laettner light, only without the attitude.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a good way to describe him. He is now gone from ESPN. And this is actually a positive.
He wasn't one of the layoffs.
This
either.
Is a positive story for him. He is now on the Lakers coaching staff. So you will not have to worry about Miles Simon commentating on Kentucky basketball anymore and have horrible memories brought back to your mind.
But he's coaching Julius Randle.
Maybe yeah, but he's going to be an assistant. So, I mean, you're never really going to.
So does that mean LeVar Ball is his boss?
No, LeVar Ball is going to. You better watch
I
out.
I think so.
With your LeVar Ball jokes. He's going to take over the WWE, and you're going to have to talk about him all the time.
That was the highest rated TV show last night.
I was sick.
Can you believe that?
Absolutely sick.
Yeah, because there is nothing better than a wrestler high ground. You cannot, you know, have any fun in wrestling, right, Bo?
I got one more for you. This date in 1967, the world's first ATM was installed in London. How many of us regret that day? Just 20 more bucks. Just 20 more bucks, right? They even have them in casinos. Thanks.
Mark my words, Seinfeld. Your day of reckoning is coming when an evil wind will blow through your little play world and wipe that smug smile off your face.